Hear me?
I'll do too.
Awesome. All right. Well, everyone, welcome to another episode of Talking Tarot with TFL. My name is Zion, and I'm the head of communications at TFL. Today, I'm joined by Chris, who's CEO of TFL, MC, who is a head of community and partnerships at TFL. We've got Mike Mers up here, who's the head of station engineering, and then we'll also be joined later by MB, who is a contributor at GrowthDAO, which we'll talk about today as well. So today we're briefly going to cover a few project updates on the TFL side of things, talk about the next steps following the TFL community grant proposal passing, which passed yesterday, and then finish off by talking about Tara's new GrowthDAO. So if you have any questions about anything or would like to discuss something throughout the space, just request to speak, and I will add you as a speaker. All right, with that, Chris, did you want to start us off with some project updates on Enterprise or Station?
Yeah, I can do that. First off, just want to acknowledge all the support we got for the community grant proposal. Really appreciate it. It means a lot to us as a team. And I think I mentioned this in my tweet the other day and on Telegram, but like the stuff we shared is just scratching the surface of what we actually have planned. And so, man, if we can pull off everything that we have lined up just for November alone, it's going to be mind blowing. So, looking forward to get starting on that. Just a quick update. I think we're a week or so away from getting the fee module proposal out, maybe 2 weeks. We just need to make sure all the code is ready. So that we'll follow up on that. The process of distributing our matching for those fees is going to be extremely manual. So, we need to put a process in place, but, we'll be working on that as well. So once fee module goes live, then we'll start matching the fees that are generated by protocols, and giving those back, giving back like an extra, I guess, 25% or 50% of the fee earnings, back to those protocols as well. It'll just be a manual process. We don't have the time to build something automated. And then the last thing that we want to follow up from the community grant on is the delegation program. So I'm working on a list of community members and loyal Tara builders and participants who have kind of stuck around through the beginning to start working on a proposal for how that will work. Our request is there are going to be some terms. Most of those terms are just that we do things transparently so people can see the conversations that are happening, so that everyone in the community can see, although not necessarily participate directly in those conversations. I think that the team will need an ability to like move a conversation forward without endless debate. I think the group that will put this together is somewhere between 15 to 20 people, depending on who accepts. Builders, validators, community members. What else was I going to say? Oh yeah, we definitely want, you know, the people who are on this council can't be enshrined forever. So they're going to have to, I think we'll probably enshrine a council to begin with. And then there needs to be some kind of election mechanism in Enterprise, to vote people back in. So that this group will come up with what that mechanism looks like. Yeah. And then like the only other thing TFL would do is maybe can have some kind of like veto power if it looks like there's some kind of collusion or we need to step in. But I don't think even that might be like a vote from the community to say, TFL, we want you to step in and take back this thing. But if we took it back, we wouldn't do anything. We would just wait until we have a new system in place. So we will not be part of that council by the way. No one from TFL, so we won't have any input. And the votes will happen publicly and on enterprise on where the money gets allocated. I have that list. You know, we should start reaching out to people to see if we can build that council fairly soon. The list is pretty much final, though. So you'll be hearing from us soon. I'm trying to think if there's anything else on the community grant, just housekeeping stuff. Oh, I think everyone knows this now. We're not going to put a proposal to freeze the community pool. If someone in the community wants to do that, though, I think it would have a lot of support. So that'll be a community effort. And we won't vote on that either. Product updates. I'll do these quick because I want to just kind of open it up and get to questions. Cross-chain enterprise is coming up end of this month. So you guys should see that by the end of the month. The ultimate vision here is that you can, that any DAO on any chain can spin up on enterprise. Their treasury can remain on whichever chain they feel most connected to. But then the governance votes end up happening on Terra. So it's like a cool way to, it'll be completely abstracted away. Transactions will still happen on Terra regardless of where the DAO is located, but their assets can stay on the chain that they feel most connected to. And the reason for that is just it doesn't make sense to try to redeploy the governance module on every single other chain that exists out there. That needs to be, we don't want to have to kind of like redeploy in 40 different places. Down the line, if you imagine a world where even there are hundreds of different chains that have enterprise on them and DAOs on them that are using enterprise, it's very simple and straightforward to deploy treasuries to those chains or to keep the assets on those chains. But like redeploying the governance code would be a total hassle. So the ultimate goal of enterprise is just to completely abstract away the chain anyway. And so when people come in, they're really just getting a governance module that works with the wallets and the tokens they have, wherever those tokens exist. So we're really excited about that. This first version that comes out of CrossChain will be a bit beta. So we need to refine the user experience a little bit to completely abstract away the different chain aspects of it. But it'll be good to get it out to Migaloo and let them start using it. And then from there, like deploying the new chains is relatively easy as long as they have all of the correct modules on the chain, like IBC hooks and packet forwarding middleware. Update on stations. Yeah, that's end of month. And then you'll start seeing new releases from that team every 2 weeks or every month. We haven't decided yet exactly what the release schedule will be. But anyway, you'll start to see velocity pick up on enterprise pretty significantly. The other product that we're releasing into very, very limited beta, but this is more of a B2B product, is Enterprise Hub. Which essentially combines Enterprise DAO plus a Cosmos equivalent of Gnosis Safe into one product. I'll be using it. I get my hands on it Monday, and then we'll start rolling it out kind of on a limited basis to different protocols that want to manage their treasuries in Enterprise as well. And then, as you guys know from my presentation, so DAO and Treasury are the first two applications. The next two applications that will be coming out are payments and labor market. So we'll continue to integrate those as well. And then Hub is the wrapper that goes around it. So I think we're probably a month away from like releasing Hub, where people can at least go play on it and see what we've built. And we're really excited for that because it's our first kind of foray into like a Web 2.5 application. One that allows you to have all of the benefits of Web 3, but all of the conveniences of Web 2 combined. The update on Station is that things look great, man. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I look at the designs all the time. Beta release is still on track for mid-November. What we're going to do is run some kind of contest. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but we're going to find like a group of community members who have been engaged and active over the last year, and give them sneak peek first preview access. On a limited basis. So that will be coming soon. Like I said, we're about 2.5 weeks out from that. And then, and I'm sure like screenshots will start trickling out from that beta release and then a wider release shortly after that. I'm really excited for that though as well. We have a new partner that we've been working with on Station V3 that we won't be able to announce until roughly that beta release date. But when we do, I think it's gonna blow your guys' minds. We're really excited about it. I think the entire experience is gonna be next level. And we already know like what the next year of roadmap looks like to take it even farther. So really excited about that as well. I think on the product front, that's it. Why don't we just go to questions?
Sure. Yeah, if anyone has any questions that they want to ask, you can either request to speak and ask them here, or you can also put them in the replies on the tweet for this space. And then we'll just read them out and try and get to each one of those as well. All right.
And don't let me forget, I want to talk a little bit about past community grants, the Neptune situation, and how we should think about those, or my perspective on how I'm thinking about those going forward. If that's interesting, maybe we can do that now while we wait for people to raise their hand.
Yeah, so we got one question here, and then maybe after this
Sounds good.
we can get to that. Grimace, can you hear us?
Yes, thanks for opening the channel, and sorry for my voice. I'm just waking up in this part of the world, but excited to see everybody on here. Excited about the things to come. I just wanted to really gauge on your side. I'm no expert, and honestly, I've been tuned out from the whole Terra ecosystem for a while now. I certainly know that we're in good and capable hands. My question, I guess, more on the normie side, perhaps, is what's the appeal to go and build 100 or 1,000 chains on top of Terra? Do you guys think that the demand is realistically there? I know that the infrastructure is technically being prepared for what's to come 5, 10 years down the road, but what does that vision look like, and how does that organic or inorganic growth of a change look like on top of Terra in your minds?
I'm not super bullish on that use case, which is one of the reasons why we paused slash are just gonna to stop development on Feather for the moment. I think I've said this in other channels before, right? But what the world needs right now are more applications and less block space. Maybe the world doesn't need less block space, but it sure as hell doesn't need more. It feels like every announcement I read is some new way to roll up like another roll-up solution or another new chain solution. And block space really just isn't the constraint right now. And so I'm not super bullish on a bunch of different blockchains spinning up on top of Terra. I think if we're going to make Terra valuable, it's going to be by building things that people love to use. And we've got people doing that right now.
That's
But yeah, I think that's more where I'm focused.
a great answer. Sorry, and perhaps maybe I'm a bit out of tune, but kind of what I wanted to hear, and just know that all of us on this side we're cheering you on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Grimace. Okay. Chris, do you want to, while we wait for more questions to come in here, do you want to talk about some of those things you mentioned
Yeah,
there?
and this might actually spark a lot of conversation because I think everyone, this will strike an emotional chord with a lot of people who have been involved with us since the beginning, and especially with builders who stuck around and delivered on all of the commitments they made, of which we have quite a few in the Terra ecosystem. So I think one of the debates we need to have is what to do about teams that took emergency builders grant and didn't deliver. I think the and it might not even just be that, right? It might just be about teams that did their best to try to survive through this bear market and the implosion of Terra, and had to sunset projects that people were excited about and people feel kind of hard done by. I've had a couple of conversations recently with teams that some of them didn't even take the community grant, but they just had projects on Terra that they had to wind down, whether it was an NFT project or something else they just couldn't afford to support anymore. And there's been like some, I think a lot of them want to come back. I think a lot of them are still kind of culturally aligned with Terra. I think they want to come back to the Terra community. They want to come back to the Terra blockchain. But they're nervous because we're still kind of in this like witch hunting mode on I don't know if you want to call it witch hunting, or there's still kind of like a purity test on whether everyone fulfilled their commitments like to the max. And I understand, and so like there's like hesitancy to even come back. They're afraid of how they'll be received in the Terra ecosystem, and they don't really want to expose themselves to that. I actually, so one thing I'll say is, for the builders who stuck around and like delivered and are just like complete OGs, Terra people, who I understand why they would be frustrated with another team that took a check or wasn't as committed or as resilient as they were. So I understand that emotion. I understand like also the community emotion from where, I mean, there are so many examples of this, right? Where teams took community grant, took a community grant and didn't deliver. And then another team comes 2 months later and gets completely shut down. You just go back, and if you try to dissect them all on a case by case basis, it's pretty bad, right? Like there's no way to like make it feel fair to everyone. And someone's always going to feel hard done by. But I think I'm kind of getting to the point now where we have a little bit of momentum. I think especially in the next 30 to 60 days, you'll see TFL deliver on all of the promises we made in that community grant plus significantly more. And people are starting to notice, and people are wanting to get back involved. And I think we need to have a conversation about kind of letting some of the stuff that happened in the past go so that we can welcome people back in and make this a place where people feel comfortable coming back to. Because in the end, you know, 2 to 3, 4 years from now, all that matters is growing the ecosystem and having more partners and having more users. And if people are scared to kind of come back and deal with it, I think it's going to limit our ability to grow. The other thing I would say on that is I do think, you know, if we as a community can try to forgive and forget or welcome people back in, it has to be done in the context that the people who did stick around and did deliver are rewarded for what they did, right? Like, I don't think you can do the first part without doing the second part, right? And making sure that they're acknowledged and that they have a significant role. And so that's like the second prong of this is my promise that I made during the community grant proposal to make sure that the teams who really grounded out with us are going to be well taken care of and are going to participate in the upside of this rebirth. And so that's the other thing that, you know, we'll be rolling out in the next 30 days or so is recognition and, maybe even some reward for those teams that did stick around and for the people who did. But I think, you know, if we can figure out how to take care of that group, I think we need to start having a conversation about kind of letting some other teams who were dealing with very hard, like there are some teams that there's just no excuse, to be clear. There are other teams that are kind of on the fence, right? Like they tried, they did what they could, but ultimately they have families to feed and businesses to run and things got pretty grim. And TFL, and frankly, you know, TFL wasn't there to help, right? For a long time, we couldn't say anything. And so it was just onslaught of accusation after accusation after accusation. And at a certain point, people had to make business decisions. So yeah, let's maybe open up that conversation if anyone wants to talk about it as well, in addition to the product stuff.
Yeah, if anyone has any questions about that, like I said, just request to speak, or you can pop your question into the replies for the tweet for this space. In the meantime, I see we do have a question here from Max Callisto. Could you explain a little more on the fee share module? Are the fees paid in Luna, and will TFL match it with non-Luna, or will it be swapped to Luna before it's matched? So we actually have Javier up here, who's he's a core engineer at TFL, and he's going to be working on the implementation of the fee share module on Terra. Javier, did you want to maybe address that question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's actually pretty simple. So the fee share module would take 50% of the on-chain gas and be directed to the owner of the contracts, right? And then TFL would pay 50% of those reimbursed fees in stables, And that would be a manual process that happens for now. Like we are planning like once a month or maybe in a different cadence, but that would be like reimbursed separately. So to summarize, like Luna would be paid automatically on chain, and then 50% of that would be in stables that would be done manually.
It's 50% on top of the, it's like whatever 50% is of the 50% they generated on chain, right? So it's like 75% total of the total fees they're generating on chain is being paid back to them. 50% of the 75% is in Luna, and then 25% is in stablecoins. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make that clear. All right. Let's see what other questions we got here. Can we have more details about the partnership with Capapult that was announced yesterday?
Where is Capapult? Are they on?
Yeah, I don't know. Capapult, if you're in here, feel free to request to speak.
I could share. Obviously, I've been working with them for a couple of months on this project, but I don't want to steal their thunder, and I don't know what their plans are, but we need to make sure Capapult is a healthy protocol, is what I would say. And we need to make sure. Yeah. Yeah. And so, and we're going to, and you know, some of that includes my commitment to bring capital into the ecosystem is what I would say.
Sounds good. So another question here from Pluto.nft, how are we going to combat Luna inflation?
That's a great question. I think we need to do something, right? And you know, leading up to this, I think we have 5 million in TVL on Terra, and we're spending 35 million a year USD on security / inflation. I mean, and the way you'll hear me talk about like staking rewards is that's a security budget. You can argue that, you know, maybe some of it is an incentive budget with Alliance, but the purpose of the staking rewards is always security. It's security first. And we're overpaying for security in a pretty significant way right now, in my opinion. Now, that said, we're going to bring some TVL to the chain. And so I would expect that TVL number to increase quite a bit over the next 30 to 60 days. But I still think we're probably overpaying. And so I'll talk about GrowthDAO in a little bit, or maybe let MB talk about GrowthDAO in a little bit. I've shared a lot about this, but we basically spun up an analytics group, or essentially the idea was originally more of like a growth marketing group, but it's doing some different types of analysis. There are four projects that are currently underway right now. One of those projects is a security project. So understanding like what an appropriate security budget should be and how to implement it ideally in a way that dynamically adjusts to demand. I think one of the most ridiculous things about crypto is kind of how we just set and forget and incentives. No one would ever do that in a real company, right? Just like set a number and then leave it alone and not adjust it. It needs to be responsive to demand. And so like the staking reward should go down if there's not much TVL. And you have plenty of staking to secure it. And the staking rewards should go up if it needs to incentivize more people to stake so that the chain is secure enough for the value and transactions that are on it. And right now, we're inflating away significantly more than we need to for the value of the chain. Now, what I don't know is what the right number is. And that's what the GrowthDAO team is working on. And all they're going to come with is an analysis and some recommendations and to start a discussion, but to at least bring data to that discussion. And my hope is that we can get that done in like the next week or two and start a discussion on the forums so that we can all talk about what to do next. I think right now, the Cosmos Hub has a dynamic model, and there are people who are trying to change that and make it static and try to reduce inflation. Their objectives there seem to be to try to turn Atom into money. Anytime someone is like telling you the token they made up is money, you should probably sell it, or be cautious, I guess I would say. But so like, I'm not worried about turning Luna necessarily into money. We need to just like make sure that all the incentives we're doing are optimized. And so like the dynamic model that's implemented on Cosmos Hub is actually pretty interesting. It just targets a stake percentage. And over time, very gradually increases or decreases staking rewards to try to find that equilibrium. So I would love to see something like that. But more to come on that in the next couple of weeks. But the what you're probably, if you're looking at, so right now, inflation is 7% a year. That's too much, but that's not the main thing that you're seeing driving up supply. The primary thing you're seeing is just the vesting. There's a ton of Luna vesting from the Genesis airdrop, and there will be a ton of Luna vesting for a while up until I think late 2024, and then it slowly starts to decline. But that's kind of like, you can consider that like a supply overhang, and that supply overhang is not going away in the next 2 years. And there's nothing we can do about that except try to make that Luna useful for people.
Yep, absolutely. Another question here in the chat was related to DOE. So just any news about DOE. I think I can just address that. There's no new updates on DOE's situation. You know, as we've said in previous spaces, we're not in contact with him. So, you know, we haven't spoken with him. We don't know what his personal legal situation is any more than anyone else in the community does. You know, we're getting our news from the press, just like everyone else here. So that's kind of the update there. All right. Any news on the Jax project? I don't know, Chris, if you have any insight into this.
Actually, JBR, you probably have even more updated. I just know that Jax is going to testnet in the next week or two, but JBR, you might have more details.
Yeah, exactly that. So we have successfully upgraded. So previously we had an issue with upgrading Jax to Cosmos SDK 47. This week we have successfully upgraded, and we should be able to get it into a devnet next week. And yeah, hopefully we can share the details with everyone, and you guys can start playing with JavaScript on Cosmos. On Cosmos SDK. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good. I feel like it's pretty interesting. Like, the smart contracts that you write are literally like JavaScript. Like, it looks really, really simple, and I think that could open up smart contracts to a whole bunch of new developers.
There you go. Follow Jason Stallings. Love it. Follow Jason Stallings on Twitter. DM him. let him know you're excited. But it's Octal. What's his Twitter handle? It's
Octal Mage.
Octal Mage. Go find him.
Yeah, and you can file. You can also follow the Jax Twitter account if you haven't already at jax.zone. There'll be updates posted there when, like Javier just said, when this thing goes live with a developer testnet, and then obviously once it goes live on mainnet as well. After that, all right. Let's see here.
Zion, we have a breaking partnership deal that we could announce live on Spaces if we wanted to.
Well, I mean, you can't tease it like that and not do it at this point. So we might as well do
it. Bring up Finn. We got Finn taken care of. We just made a deal.
Let's go. Let's bring him up. I'll invite him to speak real quick.
All right, Finn.
Terra Spaces offers an incredible community benefit to everyone. No other chains are stepping up. But Terra is going to do it. Community couldn't have done it without the community grant, though. Literally, Finn would have to go back to McDonald's. But community grant makes it happen. And I think we should still keep trying to push to get other ecosystems to help him out. Like, he's not getting rich doing this. He's surviving, I would say. So the more we can continue to spread the word and get him more support, the better. But we can at least ensure we have him locked in for another, what's that, a 2-year deal?
GM, everybody.
GM, sir.
Man, you just made my morning and the rest of my year and the next one. But yeah, I think during all of this, watching where everybody kind of spread out to and like kind of trying to like keep the group together, you know, like as much as possible while letting, you know, watching where they were all going and stuff, and just adding to my workload because everybody's doing spaces. But I think with what the vision is now, right, with Station, with everything being kind of multi-chain focused, I think we have a really nice foundation of networking and contacts and introductions, basically, like all of these, you know, chains are familiar with all the other ones. And I feel like we're here kind of part of that glue that, you know, keeps everybody connected. But yeah, man, that is a huge weight off my shoulders for sure. Like, I definitely appreciate everything the Terra community has done, starting out with Doe, you know, back in 2021. And then the community grant once the crash happened, and now this partnership. Like, blessed.
Yeah, we're super excited. We want to work on some projects with you. Like, maybe you can do a little promotional stuff for Terra as well, mix in there. But we want you to continue to support all the chains in Cosmos and beyond. Because I think we grow as an ecosystem. Cross chain by default, like I mentioned to my, is not just like kind of a saying. We want all of these teams on every ecosystem growing, and then we want them integrating Warp, integrating Enterprise, and integrating Station. and so we win when they win. And so, yeah, appreciate the valuable community service you provide, and look forward to keeping it going for another couple of years, giving you some certainty. Now let's go help them raise some more money. Be great if you could get a lamp, yeah, get a Lambo out of this.
Man, I'd just be happy paying off the car I got. But no, Kuji, like Spark IBC, Tendermint Timmy, he's been talking with Sencom, not with Kuji, but with White Whale, and trying to figure out some sort of way. Spark was one of the first ones that had the way to kind of donate to Terra Spaces if you were on the Juno network, and then they gave you Spark points, so they had kind of a way to keep track of who was donating what and how that all worked out. And bringing that to other chains, I think, would be a really useful tool in not just for Terra Spaces but other projects as well. Being able to like do some fundraising, it gives the communities a way to see like which ecos are pitching in and like how much, and kind of, for me at least, that always gives me a good bead on like who the more legit builders are. Like if they're just keeping quiet, not interacting with the community, not pitching in for any of these public services, they kind of, in my mind at least, rank a little lower than somebody like Stargaze or Omniflix, where they've actually actively, you know, made an effort to pitch in at least something for all of the content that they're making and we're archiving. So yeah, it's the beginning of like some really cool shit, and I hope we can get it all in place before this next cycle kicks off.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think like in the future, what I'd like to do is I was talking to Finn about this, is to integrate enterprise payments into it. So of course I'm going to use this moment to promote one of my products, but yeah, enterprise payments will be ready soon, and it'll have the ability for people to yield redirect, just like kind of the things that were being built on Anchor. And we're actually looking, if someone wants to work with us on that, like building some things. Payments is kind of two things. It's like this protocol that anyone can build on top of, can build different payment apps on top of. And then it's also going to be an application we build into enterprise. But if anyone wants to work on that, there are ways we can do all kinds of interesting yield redirection stuff that turns into payment streams. And we can do crowdfunding and there are just a ton. It's like a primitive that a lot of different interesting applications can be built on top of. So reach out to MC if you are interested. But we could do that as well, right? So we could set up, you know, all of us could support Finn, even if it's just a little bit of yield redirection from staking or alliance assets or something like that that streamed him.
Yeah, Eris had that set up too. I always felt bad about using that because the Terra community already pitched in, right? So I felt like why should they have to redirect yield when they've already pitched in from the community pool? Personally, I'd like to see other ecos actually step up and pitch in for this, but you know, we do what we can, and the lunatics have been number one, like there for support and just reaching out to me in private and being like, hey, if it comes down to it, like, let me know and I'll, you know, we'll help you out for a month or whatever. So luckily I haven't had to take anybody up on that yet, but yeah, we do what we can, man.
Excellent.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with Terra Spaces, that's surprising if you aren't, but if you aren't, they do a great service for the Terra community, recording every Terra community Twitter space. And you can listen back to all of those on basically any of your favorite podcasting platforms by just following or subscribing to Terra Spaces. So you can find them on terraspaces.org, and you can listen back to all previous Terra Twitter spaces that have been done. I personally use them on Apple Podcasts, so it just makes it easier and accessible to listen back to previous Twitter spaces, which is really nice.
Yeah, and currently just looking at the archive, we've got 3,737 spaces archived. So there's a lot of content there for going back since, you know, at the end of 2021, getting that upswing and then everything crashing. Like, it's a lot of interesting history, I think. So it's really cool to see everyone supporting it and using it.
Absolutely. All right. Let's see if we've got, we've got Vlad joining. The man, the myth, the legend. How's it going, Vlad?
Hey, hey. Good to see you all. Lots of familiar faces.
Good to see you as well, sir. All right, let's see if we've got any questions here.
Yeah, I have no questions. Maybe Vlad can give an update on Warp and Cross-Chain Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yes. Vlad, I gave just kind of a little bit of an update, just giving people the idea of how governance will work, but I didn't do it very well.
Okay. So how technical do we want to go, or just like overview?
Not technical.
Okay. Overall, we're releasing Enterprise DAO Cross-Chain very soon. Team's hard at work on making that happen. Making sure everything is nice for release. Main feature coming out, of course, is cross-chain. And the way this is going to work is through a hub and spokes model, which basically means you're going to have outposts on different chains where you can hold different assets on those chains. The way this works is that we have like our central governance module on Terra. So whatever assets you have staked, regardless of where they come from, will be able to be staked on the Terra governance module. However, the assets that you want to hold do not have to be on Terra at all if you don't want them to, or you can split them up among, you know, multiple different outposts on different chains. A popular question that I get is, you know, I have an asset on this chain. How am I going to be able to use Enterprise? I want to create a DAO for my asset. And you know, I want to do it using Enterprise. And so initially, you're going to have to bridge over your assets, you know, using TFM or using whatever other, you know, IBC UI that you can find. But quickly after our release, what we're prioritizing is really upping the game on UX and IBC UX. And so the goal for Enterprise is that no matter what chain you're on, no matter where your assets are, Enterprise will detect that. And then you're going to be able to do one-click staking as if everything is native. And so the experience for someone who is on, you know, a chain that isn't Terra is going to be identical to the experience of someone who is on Terra. At the end of the day, you know, your assets are locked up in Enterprise. And then the assets that you want to use within your DAO, they can be found anywhere on whatever chain, you know, using any decentralized application on those chains.
Nice. Any updates on the Warp side of things? I know we did a couple updates on that side of things for me. We just launched a new landing page for Warp to better explain how Warp works, because obviously it's a pretty technical solution. And so hopefully that helps break it down a bit and make it easier for developers to understand how Warp can be utilized by them. We're also going to be working on we're going to be working with our video production team to get an animated warp explainer video made following the Alliance explainer video that we're working on right now, actually, which hopefully should be coming out here in November, along with some of these other things that we have going on. But anything on the warp side of things, Vlad, that you wanted to update?
Yeah. So number one, you know, we're constantly reaching out to protocols, constantly reaching out to teams, you know, explaining this. I think warp has finally reached a point where, you know, the limitations of the protocol itself are so vast that for the majority of use cases, nobody's going to even come close to hitting those limits. And so at the moment, you know, the priority is really education, protocol integration, and examples that come with those. Since warp is such a novel technology, every time we talk to teams, they're just, you know, impressed by how advanced and technical and, you know, powerful everybody expresses it is. And, you know, I think when we get the word out about warp, when, you know, we see more protocols using it, that's honestly going to be the best form of our advertisement and the best form of marketing, because then you're going to have multiple examples to look from and you're going to kind of be able to see, you know, how powerful warp really is. And so at the moment, like, the priority obviously is getting protocols integrated, because, you know, the more protocols that you have, the more fees that you accrue, the more Luna that gets burned in the vaults.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so we've got a question here about Evan's project, which is Alliance DAO, which I know the community is super excited about coming soon. I know Evan is here in the audience. Evan, if you'd like to come up and give an update on your project, feel free.
He's going to come out. I was just chatting with him to see if he wanted to give an update. He was going to do it next week, but I think he should just lay it all out today, and then I think art and everything like that will be 2 weeks away.
Yeah, people are chomping at the bit, man. They're excited about Evan's project.
Yeah, wait till they learn more about it. I'm pretty excited too.
Hey, everybody! Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, so yeah, pretty excited that we're getting Alliance DAO. Things are being finally finalized with everything. It's been a long journey, you know, trying to get everything pretty much perfect. Our original idea for the art just wasn't good enough. And so we went in a new direction. Took us a little bit of time, but I really wanted to make sure that, you know, what we gave to the community is something that I'm really proud of, and I'm really excited. I will be on the next space talking about it more, the art more, but it is coming out. I can tease that we're going to do a claim process. So if you participated in Game of Alliance, you can connect your wallet to a site and claim an NFT. And the rarity will be different based on your Game of Alliance score. The art is really, really cool. We're working with an artist, and there's a whole story behind it. I'll tease that next time. Let's see what else. The other thing is we're going to have a claim period. And so any NFTs that aren't claimed after that period are going to go to the Alliance DAO treasury. And Alliance DAO can figure out what they want to do with that, if they want to list those for sale. And all the revenue from that goes to Alliance DAO to fund whatever projects that Alliance DAO wants to do. Or, you know, it's up to the community. And so Alliance DAO, just to go over that again, is going to be anyone who holds this NFT can stake to this Enterprise DAO. It's going to be community run, already getting some community leaders involved. And so super excited about the project. Yeah, I know it's been a while, but we finally are getting somewhere. We're getting the contracts audited. And yeah, stay tuned. Going to be really cool.
Yeah, for those who might not be aware, when you stake these NFTs in the Enterprise DAO, what's going to happen is the Alliance DAO is going to have. Maybe Evan, if you want to talk a little bit about the why it's called Alliance DAO.
Oh yeah, so the whole point of this NFT, the how the contract works is that everybody, we will put up an alliance proposal to add an alliance asset that is basically underlying these NFTs. So all of these NFTs will gain alliance rewards. And the only way to claim those rewards is to essentially break the NFT. So they can only be claimed once. And once the NFT is broken, it doesn't collect more rewards. So what you'll see is as people claim more, the ones still holding NFTs that are unbroken will be gaining more alliance rewards. That'll be a separate governance proposal that'll go up, concurrently with launch. But yeah, basically these NFTs grow in value over time. And so that's kind of how we are able to reward, you know, the people who tested out the Alliance module. And something new that hasn't been done on Cosmos before is this Alliance NFT model. So pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I think this is one early example of how Alliance can be used, or you can basically run an experiment with Alliance to drive engagement within a blockchain ecosystem. So doing things like retroactive airdrops like this, where you're rewarding the community for doing something that was really valuable for the community as a whole, which is battle testing the Alliance module ahead of launch. You know, this is something that other protocols, other teams throughout Cosmos could do. You know, they don't necessarily have to do it with the exact same way that we did it with NFTs and, using Enterprise DAO in the way that we have. But this is just one example of Alliance being able to be used as a generalized tool to incentivize different user behaviors or user actions, or basically drive engagement on chain. So this is the first, but it probably won't be the last time that we reward the community for driving value to the chain as a whole. So stay tuned for future announcements and opportunities in the future in this regard as well.
Yeah, thanks for letting me talk about this. Stay tuned for some more updates, everybody. And I'll be tweeting some teasers in the next week. And I'll be on the next Spaces talking about it.
We love you, Evan. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I love all of you too.
All right, we're coming up to about an hour here in about 9 minutes. So if there's any questions or anything that anyone here want to discuss. Oh, I know, Chris, by the way, at the beginning of the space, I said that we're going to have MB on to talk about Growth DAO a bit and what they're working on. Unfortunately, MB is not going to be able to make it to this space. Hopefully, he'll be able to make it onto the next space. He had something to deal with that was family related that came up last minute. But Chris, I'm not sure. I know you alluded to it a little bit, but is there anything else that you wanted to talk to about Growth DAO specifically?
Why don't we wait for MB? Because I don't want to be, I spun that up and we're going to be funding it, but I don't want to be the spokesperson for it because
sure,
it's being run by that team. So why don't we wait for, or Frederick come up and talk about it as well if he wants to. He's part of Growth DAO.
Yeah, sure. Frederick, feel free to request to speak if you'd like to come up and talk a little about Growth DAO.
Vlad could also talk about Warp DAO. That's a fun one.
Yeah. So
Vlad, before we get to that real quick, we do have a question here, or Vendetta that requested to speak. So Vendetta, do you have a question or something you want to discuss?
Yes, quick? Thank you. I have a question. I was wondering how a support for Capital would look like.
Oh yeah. So we mentioned that briefly earlier, but we're going to wait until we have Capital here so they can, we don't want to steal their thunder. We want to allow them to announce the news and how we've been working with them there, which should come soon. If it, you know, I imagine probably within the next week or so.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, Vlad, feel free to take it away and talk about Warp DAO.
Cool. Yeah. So Warp DAO is at the finishing stages of you know, it's creation at the moment. So we have all of the members, all the initial members. We've created a Notion page that is going to be made public as soon as everything is finalized with the Warp DAO. And then in there, you're going to be able to see, you know, all of the members, of course, their roles, as well as all of the projects that we're working on. And the idea is that Warp DAO is going to help help grow Warp in several different ways. And so we have basically three facets to what they do. Number one is like core, and core is it's the actual development of the Warp protocol itself. So, you know, sometimes there's new features that need to be added as any piece of technology. And so we have, you know, a couple insanely talented devs on the team who have already been helping us out with this. And so we decided to invite them in and have them as a part of the DAO as well to, you know, find limitations, find things that we can improve and then work on those. Number two is kind of a different type of development, but it's more on the keeper side of things. So every time we talk to a protocol, one of the things with utmost importance is that, okay, we actually want our jobs run. How do we guarantee that? And so keeper improvements are something that can definitely be made. If we have something, you know, open source, super easy to run for the general public and already built in a super efficient, reliable way, then that's going to ensure that, you know, if someone wants to run a keeper, they're going to know that it works and it works really well. And then the other type of development we have is the prototyping. And so, like I mentioned before, one thing that's super important for Warp is to display its capabilities. And there's no better way of doing that than by displaying examples. And so we have this this website created called Warp Playground. And on there, it's just going to be like a huge website populated with different examples and different things that you can use and do using just Warp. And so this means that there's no smart contracts that are built for these use cases. It's just completely using Warp. And it's going to fully demonstrate the capabilities. And then finally, we have the marketing aspect. And so marketing, you know, we might have more Warp job hackathons. Zion mentioned that we're going to have YouTube explainer videos, potentially tutorials in the future. We want to have some marketing pieces, you know, meme it up a little bit. And then market research as well. So like, what can we tackle? What types of use cases are there that we haven't maybe thought about yet? And might be something interesting to display with Warp. And so Warp DAO, we're going to kind of prioritize like what we need done first. And then they're going to work on, you know, what they believe is the best way to increase the number of jobs on Warp. Like at the end of the day, that's the metric that really matters.
Awesome. Yeah. Vendetta, I saw you requested to speak again. Do you have a question? Vendetta, can you hear us? Oh, he dropped off. Oh, all right, we got him up here again. Just give me one second. Hey, Vendetta,
yes, yeah, do you have a question? I just got a call exactly when you moved me up. Sorry for that. So I have a second question, actually, concerning Enterprise. I was wondering if it's possible to differentiate NFT tokens. For example, if a collection wants to, I don't know, have different rarities, attributes, I don't know, and pay them out a little bit more. Something like that. And that also comes back to the game of Alliance. If there's different rarities for collectors, it would be nice if they would pay out a little more. Maybe that's also possible.
So I can answer the first part, and then maybe we'll give it to Zion or Evan to answer the Alliance style part. For like attributing rewards to specific traits, at the moment, that's not something that we do support. However, if we do see a need for this, if we do see kind of a community push to have this feature available, I think that would be super cool. I really like, I don't know if you guys saw like Pulsar's dashboard, but Pulsar has like this pseudo governance thing where it's like not really serious. It's not really like token based, But it's more of like a feedback page or like features that the community wants to see. So you kind of go and create one and vote on your favorites. I think maybe having something like that for enterprise would be cool. Because then we can collect, you know, feedback like this and feature requests, and we can see, you know, what the community really wants the most. And, you know, we can kind of prioritize that, you know, based on that list. As for the Alliance DAO, you know, I'll hand it off to Zahn for that.
I think Evan would be better, better served to answer that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about this when we were coming up with the contract spec. And we decided that it's basically because the NFTs are rarer, they will be worth more. So there is like a higher payout to people who got more points during Game of Alliance. I think it would mess up the like game theory aspect of the claiming NFTs if they were rewarded at different rates. So that is something we thought about, but I do think that the like the more rare NFTs do look do have like cooler stuff about them. So I think in the end, like everybody should be pretty happy.
Cool. Thanks for the question, Vendetta. I see we got Frederick up here. Frederick, how you doing, sir?
Hey guys. I just wanna give a bit of what do you call it? Like an overview of growth DAO. I know MB is not here, but I can just like give you a quick summary of it. So basically, Terra, we feel like Terra needs a effective deployment and adjust the incentives and resources of the blockchain to make sure that we have the right investment decisions to achieve like a positive ROI. So basically, Growth DAO was created to created as a community initiative to solve this. We're bringing the analytics, the growth, marketing strategies, so that hopefully in the future we have like a proper data that we can actually have it as a guide. You know, because right now the data is in the blockchain overall is not as good as what we wanted. So right now, some of the projects that I can share is we're doing something for the security, and then we're doing something for retention, make a big dashboard and a security project and a liquidity project. So that's basically an overview of Growth DAO, but I think MB can share a bit more about that.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, we appreciate you. Appreciate you coming up and providing an overview of some of those things. I think we're, you know, if you guys that are listening in want to learn more about Growth DAO, you can read, they published a Medium article outlining kind of their mandate and what their, you know, what their goal is recently. I think you can follow them on at Terra Growth DAO on Twitter or X here. And then they'll be posting updates in the future as they continue building out some of these analytics projects that they're working on, and then using those projects to basically equip the community with tools to make informed, data-driven decisions about how we can help grow the Terra economy. Is that accurate, Frederick?
Yeah, correct. So yeah. So basically we're just trying to make sure we spend the proper budget for security, let's say. So for example, we have to make sure that we will not get attacked again, something like that, you know? So it's just a bunch of a back end, what do you call it? Like data gathering, I guess, so that we can actually make better decisions on that side.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, you have this corpus of data that's always being updated and it's immutable, which is the blockchain, and utilizing that data to make better decisions about how to align incentives across the ecosystem, I think is hugely valuable and something that was missing before Growth DAO was created. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys produce in the coming weeks and months.
Wish us luck, guys.
Absolutely. All right, guys, well, we're a few minutes over time here. I wanted to thank everyone who came up and asked some questions, as well as those who asked questions in the replies. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for everyone for listening in as well. And those listening back to the space on the recording on Terra Spaces, which you, if you haven't already, definitely give them follow here on Twitter or X. We will be back in 2 weeks, and we look forward to this next chapter in Terra's history following this grant proposal passing. And we'll see you guys soon. Bye now.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. We'll be right back.